First Peter is a book that is written to suffering Christians. There's a couple of books in the Bible that are dedicated to Christians that are suffering. First Peter is one of those books, and I hope in your toolbox when you're hurting, you could turn to this book. And obviously we can turn anywhere in the Bible, but it does say in verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus. Why are they scattered? They're scattered because they're running. They're being chased like animals. They're being hunted down. And at this time, it's the Jews that's doing the persecution. But in this book, God uses Peter to pen his word to suffering Christians. And then we come to our text verse there. Well, look at verse number 6. Verse 7 is our text. But wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And then look at the next verse, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. If I start this morning, I'm going to tell you about faith. First of all, if you're going to understand the trial of faith, you need to know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. When you look up the word faith means to believe, trust, or depend upon an authority. And our faith is supposed to be in the authority of the Word of God. Motivational speakers, political correctness, secular humanists, and those type of mindset say faith is belief in yourself. When they say have faith, they're saying you need to believe in yourself. We've been taught as a Christian that the Lord teaches us we should not trust ourselves. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, I just did what I thought was right. Well, I just believe in myself. Careful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's one reason I know God wrote the Bible. Man would never have wrote something like that about himself. We would talk about how wonderful we are. God says, your heart will lie to you. And it is desperately wicked. Follow your heart. That is secular teaching. That is, there's no Bible, no, that is not Christian at all. In Mark 7:21, Jesus told us that what comes out of our heart is what defiles us. The things that come out of our heart. You see, true faith is the operation of the Spirit of God. God gives us the faith to trust Him, which is absolutely amazing. Romans 12 says, verse 3, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God gives you the faith that it takes not only to get saved, but God gives you the faith that it takes to trust Him in trials. Now, what you put that faith in is up to you. Because it says in 2 Thessalonians, it does say God makes mentions of people that aren't saved and has put their faith in themselves. This is how God describes it. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Everybody's been given faith, but all men have not put their faith in the Almighty God to save them and to help them. Some have a very wicked mindset on how they get through their troubles, whether it's drugs, drinking, alcohol, sex, or whatever it is. That is very secular. This is, you see, the word faith is the one ingredient that is needed to please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's an amazing verse. Faith is the one ingredient that if it is missing in what you do, God calls it sin. Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me get this straight. See, this is talking, first of all, about everybody's need to get saved. I don't care how much good you think you've done. I don't care how excellently you have lived. I don't care what sacrifices you feel you've made or how lovely you think you are or how good a reputation you think you have. If you have not placed your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did for you on Calvary, you will die and go to hell. Amen. God says that this, first of all, this faith that He gives us, it is required to please Him. Without faith, it's sin. But this Bible principle also applies to us as Christians, because the Bible was written to God's children. You say, coming to church pleases God. Reading your Bible pleases God. You say, going soul winning and telling others about the Lord pleases God. You say, helping others pleases God. Not if it's not done in faith. I know a lot of people that help people and they don't do it for God. They do it because they want to be known as somebody that helps other people. And I can think of worse things to do with your time, but that's not for the Lord. They're doing it for their reputation. They're not doing it in faith to God. I know people, you say, well, preacher, I'm here in church. I'm showing faith. I know a lot of people, now praise God, I know a lot of people that go to church for good reason, but there's some people here this morning, the only reason you're here is because somebody else is here. You're not here for the Lord. And if you come to church for people, you will stop coming to church for people because people will let you down. Now, I'm glad everybody's here, so don't fine, I'll leave. That's not what I'm trying to get across this morning. I am trying to say, we think if I do this, 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 and this, that I'm pleasing the Lord, and that is not what the Bible teaches. God says without faith, without trusting Him, it is impossible to please Him. And without faith, you can do things without trusting the Lord, and God says that's not service. That's not service. Yes, faith means to believe, trust, or depend upon an authority. Wherever you find faith, that is the sign of a blessed condition, because all the things that can be cultivated in our hearts, of all the things, faith is heavenly and is purifying. Faith is the eye of the saved soul. Faith is the mouth of the spirit that has been born again. Faith is seeing the light of God's Word when all the world is showing you is darkness. Faith is not belief without proof, it's trust without reservation in the Word of God. Faith is the bridge between where I am and where God wants me to go. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is trusting God's Word in spite of doubt. I heard somebody make that statement. Well, if you had real faith, you wouldn't doubt. I don't know anybody that doesn't doubt. And if you didn't doubt, then you wouldn't need faith. And the challenge of the Christian life is when you're doubting to go ahead and trust God. That's the challenge. Yes, we all have doubt. And it's not, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't have doubt. I think that's a stupid statement. Faith is conviction supported by the evidence of God's Word concerning things I don't know by experience. We're to trust the Lord and pray that the Lord increases our faith. When the demon-possessed boy was brought to Jesus and the dad came to him and said, my son's possessed with a devil. The man told Jesus, your disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus looked at the dad and said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. God, would you help me with my lack of faith? I believe, but I don't think it's enough. Did you know that we're supposed to trust the Lord and pray that the Lord increases our faith? God tells us that reading His Word increases our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in this day and age of technology, they say more people are downloading music with a click than ever per capita in the history. Why wouldn't you use the internet to hear your Bible? On your way to work, you mean you couldn't do it on your phone or satellite radio? I don't even know what that is. I've just seen people with it. But put it on the Bible station. Listen to the Bible. And as you hear it, let it play in your house. As you hear it, it increases your faith. It strengthens you. Use the technology for the Lord. Use it for God. God tells us, to the degree you trust Him, listen to this, in 1 Corinthians, God says, all things are yours. Everything is amazing with faith. Faith pleases God. Faith saves you. Faith gives you the complete access to the throne of grace when you pray. Now that we've looked at that pleasant part of our text, remember 1 Peter chapter 1? It says the trial of your faith. See, faith is fun to talk about. Faith is fun to study. Faith is fun to incorporate. But what we don't like is the trial. It's the trial. See, on the beautiful rose of faith, there is the painful thorn of the trial. You cannot gather the true roses without thorns. You cannot possess faith without experiencing the trial. I hope this morning the Lord's able to comfort you in the trial of your faith. First of all, I'd like you to know your faith's going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. In verse 6 it says, if need be, ye are in heaviness or sadness through manifold, multiple temptations, that the trial of your faith. You know, you can have faith and not be at this present moment in a trial, but there is no such thing as a Christian who's had faith who's never been in a trial in their life. If you're not in a trial right now and you're not in a valley, glory to God, I'm glad for you. But if you're not, one's coming. Amen? That's life. That's life. The very nature of faith implies a trial to some degree. Faith is not a toy that God gave us to play with. Faith is a sword that God gave us to fight with. The trial requires me to take the promises of God and believe it and rest upon it as something that only God can do. Faith is a ship that God gave me to sail through storms, never to just anchor and say, you like my ship? The ship was designed to sail through the sea and handle the storm. When God gives you faith, every ounce will be used and exercised to its fullest extent. You should expect your faith to be tried. Trials are the very element of faith. Three chapters over. As a matter of fact, can you just take your, if you're there in 1 Peter 1, can we look at 1 Peter chapter 4? Go over three chapters. Look at verse chapter 4. Look at verse 12. In this book to suffering Christians, God says, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You're going to be tried. And how many Christians have I heard say, oh, why is this all... Beloved, don't think it strange that you're going through a hard time. One, God allows it to strengthen all of us. Well, I thought when I got saved, everything would be easy. You may have heard that on TV or the internet, but that's nowhere in your Bible. Beloved, think it not strange or weird when hard times and struggles, and here it says, fiery trials, furnace of affliction. God says, don't think, God, what's happening? God says, don't do that. Untried faith is so little that most cannot see it. Can you picture someone saying this? I have faith. But I've never had to use it, and really, you know, I could do well in life just as well with or without it. Then that person doesn't have faith. They don't have any faith worth testifying of. Untried faith doesn't bring God any glory, and it doesn't bring you any reward. Untried faith won't hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when you get to heaven. The only Christians that are going to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, are those who trusted God and those who let God test them. Very strong statement, and there is Bible behind it. Abraham packed up his family. Just think of this just for a second. He packed up his family and went to a land where he had never been. Abraham, leave your family and everything. And go where? I'll show you when you get there. I don't even take vacations that way. Just start driving, and wherever you run out of gas, pitch a tent.
I'm sorry, I think that's a stupid way to live. However, here, God tells Abraham, Abraham, you go to a land that I'll show thee. Where? Just start walking. That's what he said. That's how come Abraham became known as the friend of God. Do you know why? Because he could trust the Lord. Okay, Lord. Then when he gets there, God says, Abraham, you're 90 and your wife's a little younger, but I'm going to give you a son. He's going to give me a son. My wife's past the age of having children. You're going to... Now remember, the angel said, how come your wife's laughing? He said, God will too give your wife a son. Remember? Then he's got to go through the Ishmael and Hagar thing. And then he watches God finally at age 100 give him a child. Did you all see that one in the news? Overseas? My goodness, a 70-year-old lady holding her firstborn child. I mean, it looked like two great-grand... It looked like two great-grandparents, you know. And they were saying, first woman ever at age 70 to give birth. And, you know, they had that picture on there. I didn't read the article, but I went, oh. Here's this. I mean, this old grandpa leaning over, you know, and that's the dad. But this lady was 70 years old, and she's just happy. I was like, bless her heart. I wanted to say Sarah was older than that when she gave birth. So he goes to a land where he's never seen. When he gets there, God says, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. He believes God. I know he doubted, went through the Hagar thing, but he watches God fulfill his promise. And then it doesn't say how old Isaac was, but then came the day. I want you to take thy son, thine only son, and sacrifice him to me. God, are you... Take the son I gave you and give him back to me. Would you like to know how Abraham made it through that? You're there in 1 Peter. Can you go back to Hebrews? Watch this. Hebrews chapter 11. Just go back two books. You'll see James and then Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at verse 19, Hebrews 11, 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's how he made it. God, you want my son? I want you to sacrifice the son I gave you. Now sacrifice him to me. I think I can't think of a more fiery trial in the mind. God, why are you doing this? Why would you give me the joy and my wife the joy of having a child and then have me... He'd slayed lambs before. He knew the process. You bind the animal and you slit its throat. The blood drains down on the altar and you light it on fire. God, he's thinking of this the whole time up the mountain. Dad, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. They get up to the top. He binds his son. Takes his boy. Puts him on the altar. Lifts the knife and God says, don't touch him. And then... these words God speaks, now I know that thou trusts me. I think God knows the future. And Abraham said, you know how Abraham said? Abraham made it by saying, God can resurrect my son, but I must obey what God has told me and trust the consequences to God because he cannot lie. And even though I don't understand it, see, that is a fiery trial. Why is this happening? That's a fiery trial. And he made it, said, my obedience is the most important thing so that God can do what he wants to do. I'm just telling you this morning, know this. You're going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. It's tried for three reasons. It's tried, first of all, to prove the sincerity of our faith. Look, if your faith can't withstand any pressure or trials, I'm trying to just think with me, what good is it? Our faith is also tried to prove the strength of our faith. If the gold you put in the furnace dissolves and gets smaller while it's being purified, that means it had impurities in it. You see, we think our faith is stronger than it really is. And Revelation 3:17 says, "Behold, thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And God says, and knowest not that thou art." What a wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You really think you spiritually got it all together? And God says in the next verse, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You see, the trials of our faith prove the sincerity and the strength of our faith. The trial of our faith removes the dross and its impurities. You see, we think quantity, and God thinks quality. We think we have Christian experience and Christian knowledge and zeal and patience, and really, we barely have them. As the fire gets hotter, the mask gets smaller than it was before. And when it looks like our faith is getting smaller, really, it's getting purer from the fiery trial. Please understand, you must expect your faith to be tried. I'd like to say next this morning, your faith will be tried differently from other people. Nobody is tried the same way. God can't grow you when your eyes are on others and you're always comparing yourself to somebody else. That's why God says it is very foolish to look at somebody else and say, compare yourself to them. There's only one person you're supposed to be comparing yourself to, and that's the Lord. How much are you like Jesus? Now, you can use other people to inspire you to do that. Amen. Wow, they go soul winning. I want to be a soul winner like them. They read their Bible. I want to grow and read my Bible like them. They go to church. I want to be faithful to church like them. And others can inspire you, but the end goal is so that we can be like Jesus. And God says, I can't work in your life when you're always comparing yourself to somebody else. You see, the Lord's trying to strengthen you and help you as you trust in because of what you are going through. There is nothing that tries our souls more than drawing near and walking with God. I know it sounds strange, but listen. We agree with God that we're corrupt, and then we pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Do you know the faith it takes to say that? Can you pray like David did in Psalm, I won't read you the verse, Psalm 26 and Psalm 35. Judge me. Judge me, O God, according to thy righteousness. Lord, I want you to judge my Christianity. I don't care what other people think about it. That takes a lot of faith. Nothing like drawing close to the Lord tries your faith like walking with God. Because Christians grow when they say, God, if there's anything nasty in me or wicked, Lord, show it to me. And I'll confess it as sin. And Lord, I want you. You understand? Do you know how many some people come to church if they can hide. As long as nobody gets to know me. But if you get too close to me, then you're going to figure out what I am. Then I'll need to go to another church. And those Christians don't walk with God. I'll just tell you that. Because if you can't be real in church with other people, I know you're not real when you get on your knees and you shut your eyes. Search me, O God. Judge me. But then they come to church. They're judging me. Have you heard that? You heard that stuff? Don't judge me. I don't care if you judge me or not. When you get on your knees and you're being real with the Lord, dear God, show me my filth and I'll confess it so I can walk closer to you. That is a trial. That is a trial. And God tries us all. When you walk with God and pray like that, God answers And you cannot keep lying to yourself about how wonderful you think you are. Deuteronomy 4:24, what a verse. And it says it also in Hebrews. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When God's people live in Him, the very presence of God consumes their love for sin and their self-justification and their self-righteousness and the lies their heart has told them. God is a consuming fire. He sits as a refiner. You know what a refiner is? They've got the furnace, got the place where they put the silver and the gold in as it goes into the furnace. He sits as a refiner as He refines us. And does what? And He puts us in the fire. All the impurities in the silver and the chunks of the silver, and then the impurities start to rise to the top. And then He comes, brings us out, scrapes it off, and what's He always looking for? The reflection of His face in the gold or the silver. In the gold or the silver. God used Job to teach us. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Nobody suffered like Job did. Nobody. Yet, Job said, when He hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Because God is a consuming fire. He tries us thoroughly. Some people are tried by their pursuit of God. I said, other people are tried by the blessings of God. You say, how is that? How does the blessings of God try you? Listen closely. When God prospers a man, one of the severest trials of his faith is in the prosperity. I had somebody in my Sunday school class say, Brother Nash, I'd like to get into this business. I could make this much money. And I said, that sounds great. As long as greed doesn't get you. Oh, I'll keep it under check. I said, greed's gotten many a man. He lasted about a year in church, and after that he got out of church. His business really prospered. And I tried to warn him. He asked me. He was asking. I don't shoot my mouth off if you don't ask me. I watched him get out of church. His prosperity killed him. His prosperity killed him. The blessings of God. He failed. Look. Where poverty has caused one man to fall, riches have caused the fall of 50. Dr. Russell Anderson said, it isn't wrong to have money, but it's wrong when money has you. You see, a poor man can easily trust the Lord for his comfort, his wife, his children, because God is the only one who can provide it. If a poor man is tempted to walk by sight and not by faith, how much more is a rich man who has the nice car, who has the nice watch, who has the nice house, who has the nice clothes? How much more is he tempted that he doesn't need God? Right? What do I need God for? I'm comfortable as can be. Long for heaven? Why do I long for heaven? I got it great down here. I get to eat anything I want. You see, the blessings can cause trials to come upon us and cause us to be tried. You see, when you're in darkness, it's easier to see the light of God's Word. But when you can't see everything, when you can see everything, because you've got it all, it's much more difficult to see what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. So trials can come in our walk with the Lord. Our blessings and prosperity. Listen closely, our trials can also come in our praise. I know these aren't normal, but they are true. Proverbs 27:19 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. You see, when a preacher preaches and people don't like the message and the scoffers take their stand and the liberals use it to beat him and the critics light their fire of their tongues against him, even though everyone is against that preacher, God helps him. But when the world comes and pats him on the back and shakes his hand and says, you're a great man, now the test begins. Because all of us want to be liked, right? And then the temptation comes. Well, I want to be liked by the people. I like shaking hands at the door. And by the way, you don't have to say, you're a jerk on your way out today. You know, well, I'm just doing what you preach, Pastor. But I will say this. When we had a time in our church, when I knew I was being criticized and knew I was being hated, God's presence was real. And now the sweet spirit we have in our church, I'm so thankful. But I am The prosperity does tempt me, just so you know, just like the blessings of God tempt you. Just like the blessings of God tempt you. You see, when the praise comes to a pastor, then the temptation comes to tickle the ears. Be less of the preaching type and be more of the teaching type. The temptation is sound more educated and smooth. Use proper inflection of the voice. Did you know for most of us, flattery can actually push us to the edge of ruin? If you sing nice or play on an instrument nicely, you're prone to the pride that praise feeds. A great temptation happens to every musician, and that's becoming the favorite of ungodly people. One person that just cut me to the heart, I said, hey, I like your CD. This was 8 years ago. I like your CD. I keep it right in my truck, right by Hank Williams Jr. And then there was one other pervert that they had in the truck. He said, man, I listened to your CD there, and I really like it. And I was like, ugh. I don't want to be a favorite of ungodly people. I want to be a favorite of God's people. Do you understand? I want to be a blessing to God's people. But I'd hate for somebody that's lost and unsaved to look at me and say, boy, I really like you. You mean you don't make anybody mad with your Christianity? And I'm not telling you to go out and do that today. I'm just saying, nobody, you don't convict anybody? Nobody's convicted? Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. You see, remember, Christian, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How can you enjoy being a child of the King and be in favor with those that hate God? Next, I said trials come in our walk with the Lord. Trials come with our blessings and prosperity. Trials come with our praise. And then our trials come in our growth as a Christian. You see, Jesus taught us, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Our faith is tried when we read the Scriptures because it warns us and corrects us. Psalm 19:11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So I'm warned when I read the Bible. You read the Bible and you're convicted. Jesus taught on eating his flesh and drinking his blood in John chapter 6. And God tells us that from that hour, many went back and walked no more with him. And then he asks the 12 this question, are you also going to leave me? Jesus asked that question, are you going to go away too? When you come to the place where the Word of God corrects you and convicts you, the trial of your faith has begun. Will you believe yourself or are you going to believe God? Do you want to believe God's truth or do you want God's message flavored to your taste and your lifestyle? What happens when I as a pastor, let me ask you this, what happens when I say something that goes against your opinion or your culture? That's a trial. There's only two cultures in the Bible, heaven and hell. Your clothing only comes from heaven or hell. Your music only comes from heaven or hell. Well, it's a cultural difference. Culture will cut your throat as a Christian. Well, in our culture, we do this. Pitch the culture in the trash can and stick with the Word of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It'll kill you. It'll kill you. Sometimes God's Word comes to us as a healing balm. And sometimes it comes as a nasty-tasting medicine that is for our good. God's Word doesn't need to be changed or updated. I'm the one that needs changing.
Amen.
You are only right and true when you run in line with the Word of God. Anytime you run against the Word of God, you are now untrue. Now, the trials of our faith usually come in the form of affliction. God, who is our jealous lover, uses tests to see if He has our heart or not. When you say, I love you, Jesus, God says, how much? Oh, a whole lot. Can I take what is dearest to you and you still love me? Do I have your heart?
Most of the time, our trials come in afflictions. God says, do you love me and trust me in the pain? Do you love me in the valley? Do you love me when the unexpected and the unplanned happens and you finally learn you're not in control like you think you are? I'm a control freak. Most of us are. Most of us like to think we know what tomorrow holds, and the bottom line is, we really don't. And God has ways of saying, you're not in control. Can you love Him still? God says, do you love me when things don't go the way you want? Christian, I'm almost done. Just listen to me. Can the Lord take anything from you that He has given to you, and He still be good, and you still love Him? You say, well, that's mine. He gave it to you. Everything you have comes from God. He gave it to you. Is it okay if He takes it? Because Job could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Sometimes, I'll just tell you this morning, the more He loves you, the more He tests you. Sometimes God wants all of your heart and He won't share it with anything on this earth. If every earthly prop were knocked away, could you stand alone with your faith in God? God will send you trials enough to let you see whether your faith is trust or talk. To show you how spiritual you really are, God treats us in a way that is necessary for our growth in Him. God had one son without sin, but God has never had a child without trial. And He won't until He calls us home to be with Him. I'd like to end this morning with, your faith is always tried for a useful purpose. When I look at 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I don't think it's ever right as a Christian to pray for trials. As a matter of fact, only weird people do that. Dear God, send fiery trials into my life. I kind of want to like get away from them. You know what I mean? Okay, you stay there. I'm going to go over there. I think that's a little weird, and I don't find that anywhere in the Bible, but I have tried to show you this morning. I do think it's right to pray for faith to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Then how's the last chorus go? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Faith is only strengthened when it's tried. Can I just tell you this morning, all the grace that I've ever gotten in the peaceful, happy, quiet hours of my life, you could rest in probably on the head of a penny. But the good I've received from my suffering and trials is unmeasurable. In the deepest valleys of my life, in the hardest trials, can I just tell you this morning, when your faith is tried, what He's teaching you, you'll never forget. You'll never forget if you don't get angry. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You see, this is why we rejoice in our afflictions and our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When other Christians see the grace God gives you and how He supports you in your suffering, other Christians are strengthened in the Lord by your testimony. We had a man in our church, and he and his wife, and when the baby was born, it was a Down syndrome baby. It always has that look, and they're so excited that the baby's born, and they can't tell something's wrong, then as we were there and the doctor tells them, your baby's a Down syndrome baby. I'll never forget, she would come to church and she'd walk in, you know, with her other kids, and she'd have him and she would say, I'm so scared, because normally a Down syndrome baby isn't due to live past 12. That's the average, holes in the heart and the birth defect and things that are happening. She'd come to church crying. And I watched him take care of his wife and help her. And I'm going to tell you something. As I watched that couple go through that affliction, I said, he never got bitter. He never got angry at God. He said, this is the baby God wants us to have. This is the baby God wants us to have. And I said this. I said, I'm watching that guy. Because he's in a dark, heart-rending trial right now, and it hurts, but he's got the Spirit of God on him. He's not getting bitter. He's letting God comfort him. I'm watching that guy. And I did. And I learned a lot. When you suffer, right, in the trial of your faith, others benefit. Or they learn how to not handle it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. This morning, I wanted to just give you a few truths on the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Let's pray. Father, please.